after these messages, we'll be right back.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
Are you in good hands?
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome to After These Messages, where we bring you hot takes on commercial breaks. That's right, we are here to talk about TV commercials, good ones and bad ones, and ones where people say weird shit, like this.
Now you're the bird stuck in the attic.
My name is Andrew Walsh, I'm here with Genevieve Haz. Hello, Veeves.
Hi, Andrew.
Coming up on the show, I hate to say it, Veeves, we got a real boring one.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Boring.
So boring.
So boring. So boring. Actually, the topic is boringness. Is that a word?
I think so.
Boringness in commercials. It all started when I was watching an out-of-market baseball game. I think maybe in the... can't remember. The Mariners were playing somebody. Let's say the I don't think they played the Giants. But I was watching, like, a TV broadcast from another city where the Mariners were playing.
And you
right?
thought, like I always do, gosh, baseball is boring.
No.
Wow, that was an awkward...
That's not what I thought.
That was an awkward silence.
I thought, this is America's game. These are the boys of summer, is what I thought. But then a commercial came on.
That's just what runs through your head during every baseball game.
That's all I
this
hear.
This is America's game, the boys of summer. This is America's right. game, the boys of summer.
I am a human being. I am a human being. I am a human American. They'll never know. They'll never know. So anyway, a commercial came on that seemed to tout the benefits of being boring, which I think is an interesting tack.
Yeah.
And when we've seen in
a number of campaigns.
Yeah. Now, I thought maybe I could build an entire show around the idea of people defending boring in their pitches, but it's not quite as cut and dry as that. Most people are eschewing boringness in their products.
Yeah.
Leave boring behind. Throw boring over the boat.
Right. Right. That was like the same thing that I found with cheating, like, and yeah. shortcuts. Like, we don't take shortcuts.
Right. And you're like, but I want you to take shortcuts.
Take a shortcut. My God.
Good grief. Life is only so long.
Yeah.
Take some shortcuts,
take
you know?
Some shortcuts.
So anyway, I'm going to play for you this commercial. I got to say, while I think it's an interesting, like I say, kind of an interesting approach to advertising to like lean into the boringness of your service, I thought this commercial was really confusing. It kind of irritated me. So mm-hmm. I'll play it for you. I wanted to get your reaction because maybe this is one where I'm just dumb. Kind
okay.
of, you know, every now and then those pop up. And then some other commercial that
it's
explore.
Andre Agassi.
It's Andre Agassi. But who's the other guy?
We're both the dummies on that one.
Plus, our new segment, You Got Me, is taking off.
Yeah.
We have a listener writing
somebody
in.
Somebody got got,
telling us about a product that they started buying when they saw a very particular commercial for it back in the day.
Nice.
And this listener email may even accidentally spin off a spinoff segment.
Ooh, that would be exciting. That would be a first.
You lost me.
That's me and Algae Assassin.
Yeah, you got me and then you lost me. And also, Genevieve, as we get into this boring segment, which should be anything but boring, but it is a boring segment, I may have discovered something that answers a question about your past that neither one of us
dun, dun, dun.
Even had. Let's get into it.
I'm bored. I'm the chairman of the board. I bore myself to sleep at night. I bore myself in broad daylight because I'm bored.
So, I could be wrong about this, but when I say we may have answered a question from your past that nobody asked, you used to, I don't like to admit this, but you used to date somebody
yeah.
other than me. In this case, I'm thinking of a British bloke.
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention, if you weren't, that I used to date this guy, this British guy. I mean, I met him in England. And he was bored. He was easily bored. And he used to say all the time, I'm the chairman of the board.
And do you think that, I mean, did you realize or do you think that he was quoting this Iggy Pop song?
I don't know if he knew he was quoting the Iggy Pop song,
really?
But but he didn't. He knew he didn't make it up, I think.
Okay, because you used to say, like, the actual quote was, "I'm bored, I'm chairman of the board," and here we have...
Yeah, no, I have known that that was an Iggy Pop lyric.
You did?
For years.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. This was all new to me. I don't know much about Iggy Pop or the Stooges.
I don't. Again, I can't speak for him. I knew it was not an original thought, which he had very few.
Say more.
Well,
no,
he
no,
was.
No, you don't have to say more. I just.
I don't have any ill will towards him, but I will say that he was easily bored, and it was him who introduced, or who sort of indirectly introduced me to the concept that only boring people are bored.
Right, or certainly. Boring people are bored. Maybe not only boring people are bored.
Okay.
Okay, so while we're on the topic of boring, let's get into this. The commercial that I mentioned at the top of the show that I saw that I found somewhat confusing is for something called PNC Bank. I don't know if we have those around here, but it seems to ring a bell, PNC
Bank. Yeah, I feel like we've seen those around.
And starting last year, they've had this whole campaign built around the idea of boring. When it comes to money,
yes.
It should be boring.
If you're going to be if you're going to make boring the centerpiece of your campaign, you want to be something that is meant to be reliable and not flashy or risk taking, and that is, you know, anything to do with your money. Probably is a good place to start.
So that's what PNC's whole pitch is. But this particular commercial, which I believe introduced me to it, I found confusing. Now, this is a one-minute version. I'd only seen the 30-second version before this. And maybe a little bit was lost in translation there in the 30-second cutdown of this. But we have some guy. He's like a white guy in good shape who just kind of looks like a pitch man, sort of. He's can. I don't know how to describe him aside from that.
A little smarmy, maybe.
Maybe a little bit. He's going around in various scenarios talking about why it's good to be boring. Like, we see him at, like, the DMV, and a bunch of people look bored out of their minds, but he's saying, no, boring is actually good. But then he starts saying, and then we see him in all
these... He looks like if James Vanderbeek had a baby with Ryan Reynolds.
I know who Ryan Reynolds is.
James Vanderbeek was Dawson's Creek.
Okay, I don't know what he looks like, but I trust
you. Well,
he
had a great big forehead.
You're right about that. This stuff, generally speaking. So anyway, we see him, but then he's like, so we see him in the DMV, which is obviously is a stand-in for being bored, but then we see him in like the control room of like a rocket launch, presumably NASA or something. He's talking about like how boring led to the, you know, this rocket launch, and then we see a bunch
of
people watching him. And I guess because of the math, and then we see him, like, snorkeling, and he's on the beach, he's drinking a cocktail, talking about how boring is good, and that's what leads to vacations. And this, it doesn't seem like the argument is, hey, it's nice to be bored while you're on vacation. He argues that being boring leads to vacations.
Well, I haven't seen this, but I can see an argument for all the tedious stuff that goes into creating a successful event or
even vacation
or like vacation planning. Right, like
I don't think it's well illustrated here.
Okay.
Though it doesn't,
as the person who does the boring parts of our vacation, I can tell you those parts are boring.
I feel like you're putting more sense on this now than they illustrate in the commercial. If they showed somebody like at their kitchen table like booking a flight looking bored, and then juxtaposing that with them with their family
doctor,
or their partner or whatever, like, yeah, we're doctoring this up.
we haven't
heard the commercial yet. I feel like the messaging here, though, I feel like there's an argument to be made for these scenarios that they're talking about here, but I do not feel like they show the boring work. They're just showing the exciting stuff, and it really seems confused to me.
You know what's brilliant? Boring. Think about it. Boring is the unsung catalyst for bold.
What straps bold to a rocket and hurdles it into space? Boring does.
Great job, Astro Person. It's over.
Boring is the jumping off point for all the unboring things we do.
Boring makes vacations happen. Early retirement's possible and startups start up.
Now, I want to point out, we're not seeing any of the boring parts.
Right.
Of, we're seeing him
he's
going snorkeling.
Yeah.
He's doing all this fun stuff, but we never see an illustration of what's boring. We just see all the fun stuff.
It's true. I do think that's a failing of this. He starts in the DMV, which obviously is, you know, headquarters of boring. But you know, and I think it is a good concept that's executed in a flawed way.
I agree. And yeah. I think that, you know, and
maybe
again,
they were afraid to show anything that wasn't visually exciting.
But they should show people, like I say, doing the boring parts and then mm-hmm. the exciting payoff. And I think the idea of like early retirement, I mean, I think it's all about money, right?
Yeah.
Like it is being careful and boring with your money that allows all these things. But I think they do a terrible job of illustrating.
Early retirement's possible and startups start up.
Because it's smart, dependable, and steady. All words you want from your bank. Taking chances is for skateboarding.
Now he's skateboarding.
That's a good shit like this, just for the record.
That's a really
good
point.
Taking chances is for skateboarding.
Now he's skateboarding in like a 7-Eleven parking lot or a gas station parking lot, and a guy comes out eating sushi.
All words you want from your bank. Taking chances is for skateboarding and gas station sushi, not banking. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money. The pragmatic, calculated kind of boring.
Moving to Boca?
Boring.
That was a dolphin, right?
It's simple, really. For nearly 160 years, PNC Bank has had one goal, to be brilliantly boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life, which is pretty unboring if you think about it.
Thank you, boring.
Again, I want to make it clear, I'm not an... Well, I am an idiot, but I'm not a total idiot. Like, I understand what they're saying here
yeah.
and why being boring with your money can lead to an exciting life. I feel like they illustrate it very poorly. And also, I think I hate this guy.
Well, you're right. He's got a real kind of, like I said, I mean, he really has like a downmarket Ryan Reynolds vibe to me.
But a little bit with like some Vanderbeek in there, too, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picking up on. Whiffs of Vanderbeek.
What's one other thing James Vanderbeek has starred in?
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Well, you know he's the guy from Dawson's Creek.
I do know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. And then the others.
And then all the other stuff. And
so he did Fly Away With Me?
Nope.
Okay.
So I'm with you. I think that that we both understand the concept and that it would have been smart to have some quick cuts of people in spreadsheets and people... and on whiteboards and people like on calculators, like, I don't know, that sounds boring to me. Maybe others would disagree, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
he's saying that like all the things that go into these big achievements, whether it's an early retirement or a NASA space, you know, a launch, like somebody had to do the sort of like grinding work of getting there. And that's, I think it's actually a great idea.
Yeah, but show
that,
it.
As you say, could be better executed here
yeah,
in a visual way.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Also, he reminds me a little bit of the guy from Varsity Blues.
Oh, did somebody Google James Vanderbeek just now?
No, maybe somebody did. It wasn't me. I don't know. So sticking with this idea of boring when it comes to your finances led me to I don't even know. Is it a bank? It's called Wealth Simple. I think it's a you know, some sort of a financial services company. And this led me to they have a whole interesting marketing campaign or campaigns, I should say. This first one is not what I'm most excited to talk about, but it's the one that is most directly related to our theme today of being boring. And apparently this, along with other commercials in this campaign, are created by Errol Morris,
oh,
the documentary filmmaker. And you'll really get the Errol Morris feel
here.
He's
Thin Blue Line.
I believe Thin Blue Line.
Okay.
And I mean, just so many others.
And the one about the...
Did he do the Rumsfeld one?
Oh, a Fog of War.
Of War.
I think it was Fog of War. And then there's one about like a murder suspect.
Okay,
or something.
Not sure about that one. But anyway, yeah, famous filmmaker, documentary filmmaker, who also like, he'll like really just keep the camera on somebody on a subject for a really long time. And it's very conversational. And then he's the one, I don't think he invented this, but I think a classic thing of an Errol Morris film is like, you'll hear him off camera interviewing the people, but also sort of off mic a little bit too.
Yeah.
And some of these ads, not the one I'm going to play now, have that. You can hear his voice talking to the people who are giving testimonials. And that's what these are, in a very kind of recognizable Errol Morris style. By the way, this is just for you, not the listeners. That's the joke from Community that we were trying to think of the other day. Michelle Norris interviews Errol Morris, and don't worry, they address
it.
Thank
you.
we knew there was a structure of a joke there that we couldn't think of. We just couldn't remember who the two people involved were. Anyway, so this one we see... a boxer. Like, I can't remember if this guy has a British accent or not, but he sort of seems like the type of guy who would. He looks like, sort of like a British soccer fan or whatever, but he's
a white guy with a crew cut.
Exactly, and a sweater, and he's what do you call it? I guess shadow boxing to
like
the
in
camera
a boxer
a little
stance.
Bit. He's in a boxer stance, and he's just talking directly to the camera.
Every time you throw a punch in boxing, you're taking a risk. I hit someone a few months back, and my whole like knuckle just went back into my hand.
I know, graphic, right?
Graphic.
For a commercial for Wealth Simple.
Whole like knuckle.
I can tell you what this is not advertising, which is boxing.
Yeah, boxing. But it is a good actual call for medical care, I guess, and medical insurance, health insurance.
Every time you throw a punch in boxing, you're taking a risk. I hit someone a few months back, and my whole like knuckle just went back into my hand. It still hurts. That's not what investing's like. Investing is serious and boring and monotonous, and you put your money somewhere, you forget about it, and you come back and it's grown. And it's like, oh, okay, that bit's exciting.
That bit's exciting.
That bit's exciting.
Very Errol Morrissey, though, right? With
yes.
that music.
Yeah, completely.
And again, like, there's some other testimonial ones where you hear him off camera, just like one of his films. It's amazing how you can have such a signature style. I wish I had a signature style, or at least a non-embarrassing signature style.
You should ask ChatGPT to write something in the style of Andrew Walsh and see what it comes back
with. I won't. We've had listeners do that with their AI programs.
About you?
Me and Luke basically doing a seg. Have you? Well, I won't play it now. It's the wrong podcast. But yeah, like basically doing both writing a script and then recreating our voices. Like it's an episode of TBTL.
Period.
And it was actually about a year ago, and it's amazing how much smoother I think it would even be today.
Yeah.
So anyway, that Wealth Simple ad is kind of interesting. I think the Errol Morris part of it is interesting, but also very similar, but not, I don't think these are directed by Errol Morris. There's also some that feature Cousin Greg from I almost said The Sopranos, help
Succession.
Me up, Succession, thank you. Nicholas Braun is his name. And he, again, is just wearing total plain background, and he's wearing a like kind of a suit and sport jacket that like matches it. Just like very, all of these are very kind of muted colors and everything, and very minimalist design. And in this one, he's talking directly to the camera, and he's also talking about how boring it is. This is just like a 10-second ad. I'll bet you it was like a pre-roll or something.
Ugh, finance, so boring. Let's talk about it.
And then it just says Wealth Simple. That's it. It's 10 seconds, like a pre-roll. But then this one I really like. It's a little bit longer. It's 15 seconds, same exact scene. And again, he's just talking directly to the camera.
Make your money, make money, as Biggie used to say. I don't know if he said that.
And then it just says, well, Simple, very Cousin Greg there, right?
Yes, I think it's so inspired to hire Nicholas Braun for this because he's associated with this show that's about enormous wealth, obviously, but is close as we get to having an everyman in the show, right? Like he's for the bulk of the series,
he's the relatively poor one.
He's a relatively poor one. He still has a relatively like normal outlook on wealth. He wants to be as wealthy as his rest of his family. He wants to live the life they live, but he has the closest thing we have to like the viewer's eye mm-hmm. on it. And so it's really fun to have him be like they picked a great person, and he's clearly doing a little bit of Greg there.
Oh, definitely.
You know, like they picked a great character to communicate this idea to a normal person, and I'm going to say like normal meaning not billionaire class.
There's a moment in there that our listeners couldn't see, of course, because we're just playing the audio, although you can watch all of these if you click on the show notes in your podcatcher. But and if you know Succession and the Cousin Greg character, like after he gives that quote from Biggie, you see him stare at the camera for a moment, but then like 2 seconds later just turns to the side a little bit and screws up his face a little bit. It's a very Cousin Greg moment as he starts to think, Did he say that? I don't know if he said that. Like, it's just like this very visual, quick, subtle thing. It's like, oh, there's Cousin Greg. It's a good bit.
And even like the sort of like posery-ness of him saying, of him trying to invoke Biggie
right.
at all.
Yeah.
Is very Cousin Greg.
And also interesting that Wealth Simple would do that. What a weird campaign, right?
I like it. I think like that this is very offbeat for a wealth mm-hmm. management service, and I think it's really fun. I like that they're doing something that's not just standard issue.
Now, this next one is again for a financial company of sorts. This is for a credit card, and this one turned my stomach. This is going a different direction. This is from 10 years ago, and by the way, I'll try to keep note of this as we go forward, although maybe it's just best if I don't, but like, I noticed like a big clutch of these commercials that I grabbed are from 2014, like specifically.
Weird.
Like exactly 10 years ago. And I sort of wondered, like, was that sort of a trend, like just boring, generally
speaking? What was going on in the economy back then?
And it's not just the financial ones, though. Just the idea of boring kind of pops up in a lot of these commercials. And when I looked at when they were from exactly 10 years ago. But in this one, do you know who Jocelyn DeBoer is?
Unless it's someone related to the now ex-football coach of the University of Washington, I do not.
Okay, I don't think it is. So I don't know who this is. Whoever posted this to YouTube apparently just wanted to point out that this is featuring Jocelyn DeBoer. Maybe she's playing one of the main characters in this. But essentially, the main character is a guy who... you know what? I'll just let him speak for himself. I find this commercial to set my teeth on edge.
Jack, you're a little boring.
So this opens up at like a restaurant and they're on a date, right? And it almost has a reality television feel to it, although I don't think that's the point. I think that's just the production at the time.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a weirdly lit restaurant, but it's supposed to be kind of a nice restaurant. He's on a date and this attractive woman is saying to him that you're boring.
Jack, you're a little boring. Boring. Boring.
After Lauren broke up with me, I went to the City Private Pass page and decided to be not boring. That's how I met Marilyn.
So he goes to the Private Pass page of his Citibank card, mm-hmm. which I don't know exactly what that is.
Some kind of special members only.
Oh, I see. Yeah, like they put on special events.
Special
here.
Events. Yeah, they're always trying to, my Citi card's always trying to be like, oh, you get special.
Oh.
You get early prices. You know, you can buy tickets to the, you know, the Killers show earlier than everybody else.
Oh, okay. Well, so you have specific experience with this. Well, that really explains it.
Credit cards are always trying to, like, differentiate themselves by giving you kind of, like, some concierge experience.
And the Citibank,
it's usually horseshit.
And the Citibank one in particular is kind of like, oh, a special event or something. Because in this one, you can see he's at a Private Pass event at some sort of modern art museum. And when he says, that's how I met Marilyn, we see a close-up of a photograph of Marilyn Monroe that's hanging on the wall. It's like a special exhibition of her photos or photos of her. And then he corrects himself and he says, Marilyn so-and-so, who he went on a date with. So in other words, this guy was told he was boring by an attractive woman over dinner, and she says boring three times for some reason.
So she's just, like, incredibly rude.
She's just incredibly rude. And then he's like, well, I can use my Citibank card.
He really takes it in stride, though. He's like, I guess I am boring.
What can I do? What can Citibank do for me? So he went. He's like, I'm boring. I guess I have to go to the Citibank page and see what kind of events I can go to.
You know what no one finds boring? Going to museums.
Exactly. Sponsored by Citibank. A mix and mingle. And then he's there and he meets a woman named Marilyn.
I'm bored just thinking about a mix and mingle with the other Citibank.
I'm bored hearing myself talk about this. And it's also, I don't know, I feel like there's some misogyny in here too. A little bit of like, well, I'll show that attractive woman. I'm going to use my Citibank card to go out with other women. It's just something that is.
And they better be hotter than that original
Jack,
lady.
Jack, you're a little boring. Boring. Boring.
After Lauren broke up with me, I went to the City Private Pass page and decided to be not boring. That's how I met Marilyn, Giada, and Alicia. This girl is
on fire. So that, I guess, he's at an Alicia Keys concert
and
now.
And Giada is one of those celebrity chefs.
Okay, and so I guess he got special raid on these tickets to see Alicia Keys.
Have a private cooking lesson.
Use any city card to get the benefits of Private Pass. More concerts, more events, more experiences.
Hey, who's boring now?
Wait a second. So
he never meets another lady.
You know what? I'm sorry.
He just gets to meet a bunch of famous ladies or see a bunch of famous ladies.
This is on me. This is me. Yeah. See, I'm leaning into my brand, which is being dumb and missing the point. So when he said Marilyn, I thought he then corrects himself and says Marilyn so-and-so. No, he's mentioning somebody else. So he's not actually out there trying to revenge date. He's just fulfilling his life through culture.
I think it's Giada De Laurentiis.
Okay. Oh.
She's like a celebrity chef, I think.
My apologies. I missed the point of this. Yeah.
He's still sleeping alone.
He's still sleeping alone. That's good. That's all I wanted was to make sure
I feel
that
like the original lady who's the rude lady is not wrong. She's just rude.
By the way, I said to you, do you know who Jocelyn DeBoer is? And you said no. And I'm like, well, whoever posted this must really like her or something. And I now see this is posted by Jocelyn DeBoer.
She's the rude lady.
Who I'm assuming is the rude lady. Jocelyn DeBoer is an actress and improviser known to kick some Nazi zombie ass in the film Dead Snow, Red versus Dead, the zombie comedy from Hansel and Gretel Helmer. That's a hard sentence to say.
Yeah.
Tommy Wirkola. Anyway, so yeah, she's the rude lady. That's so funny.
Good job, rude lady.
Boy, I really, this happens to me from time to time on the show. I was just going through grabbing these commercials quickly today. I watched that once. I came up with a totally wrong conclusion.
This happens to me all the time.
And now you're explaining it to me. But anyway, that's a little embarrassing.
That happens to me too, where I'm like, oh, I see. You know, once somebody looks at it with fresh eyes when they're not under the production deadline, it's like obvious what the story is.
Yeah. I mean, there's still like this idea that like it's all women that he's talking about afterwards. So he's sort of like, I'm meeting other women, but they're cultural
touchstones
in some way or another, a celebrity. So, okay. So it's advertising the fact that I also was unaware that like this credit card, specifically Citibank, has this thing where they're like, oh, one of our big perks is we get you in the door for
special
things.
If you just didn't know that's a thing, like I handle our money. So I'm the one who gets the thing from Citibank that's like, you have the privilege of paying $200 a week before everybody else to go see this show.
Oh, gee. Thank you.
I do think that's it's sort of it's a tragic story at its core. It's like he's alone, but he's going to a lot of events.
Well, I don't want to make it sound like you're going to a bunch of events by yourself is necessarily sad. I actually like the fact somebody who can hang by themselves and go to these things.
Yeah, okay. I do too, but it seems like he just wants to find a partner.
Yeah, maybe. Is he going to these things too?
And like having a photo op with Alicia Keys is no substitute for having a loving life partner.
Is that true?
I think so. No offense to Alicia Keys.
Yeah. I mean, that's good for me, I guess. If there's ever an opportunity for you to leave me just for a step and repeat with Alicia Keys, I'm glad to know that I'll probably come out ahead in that.
You didn't tell me about the step and repeat. I didn't know that was part of the deal. God, I love a good step and repeat.
They're so boring.
That's boring. I remember one year I was working on the release of a big new product, kind of. It's complicated to get into, but it was involved a lot of like launch events in various places. And that's the year that I learned what a step and repeat is, what a gobo is.
Gobo.
A gobo is a...
You mean a go-bot.
I mean a gobo, which is like a light, like it shines like something on the floor or on some surface that is like your logo or whatever,
like
but
when you
done
pass
in light.
A club and it might have it spinning on the sidewalk outside the club.
Right.
Some cars have that now. Have you seen that?
Oh, like from underneath?
Yeah, there was when I was in Ohio visiting my folks, we were leaving some restaurant and it was evening. You know, it was already like dark outside, and then another woman was leaving with us and she like, you know, unlocked her car remotely and it shot like a logo down on the ground.
That was a gobo.
Cool. And was there another one? It sounded like you wanted to list three things: step and repeat, gobo, and.
Oh, I did. There was something, pop-up banners. We used those a lot.
Okay. Yeah. Just quickly assembled little banners.
They come in like a big tube and you like set them up. There's like a pole and then you zip up this curtain and it's got a little banner on it.
Does it go?
Yep.
Remember Bo? Bo knows.
Oh, sure.
Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo Jackson
played famous. This is funny because I was young during the Beau Nose campaign.
Yeah,
but I'm looking here. This is 93, so I wasn't like. Am I right? This might be misdated, but I think 93 would have been near the end of his career. I think because he played both baseball and football, he suffered an injury that I think shortened both of his careers. But at the time, he was just like, I think he's like one of the only people to win an MVP in the same year for two different major American sports
or
something
amazing.
Like that. That is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And so Nike built what is now a very famous, like, iconic campaign around Bo Knows This and Bo Knows That. And the first one had like Bo Diddley in it as well. And like the one thing Bo couldn't do was like play guitar, and Bo Diddley says at the end of it, "Bo, you don't know diddley." That was the version I remembered. And somehow in this universe, I believe Nike also introduced like a barbershop full of like not all old men, but like older men discussing Bo. Do you remember that aspect of this campaign as well? The barbershop guys?
You know, I've always wondered if, you know, the Eddie Murphy movie Coming to America, which like kind of elevated the idea of the black barbershop and the old men kibitzing in the black barbershop. I know Eddie Murphy didn't like invent that as a, you know, cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if maybe that, I mean, that movie was so huge, if that like kind of vaulted it a little bit more into the mainstream of using it as a comedic device.
You mean that maybe this campaign inspired that idea of putting it on film in the movie? Or you feel like the movie just kind of put that cultural phenomenon on the radar of white America, probably.
I shouldn't say mainstream as a euphemism for white America, but like for mass marketed products, I wonder if that's kind of because everybody like that component of Coming to America was so beloved.
I see. Okay, I was confused how that related to this commercial. That movie, of course, would have come out before that.
Yeah.
But here you have a bunch of guys in a barbershop. So this particular one, and I don't know where this is in the grand scheme of the Bo Knows campaign, but, you know, it's already big enough that it's referencing itself. So in this commercial, you see some old men in a barbershop. This is a long one, too. That's like a full 60 seconds. And you see that they're watching a baseball game, and I'm pretty sure that like Bo Jackson just hit a home run, or maybe he steals a home run or something. And then the TV goes to commercial break, and then in the commercial break is a commercial featuring Bo Jackson. And in this one, all he's doing is working out in the gym, and all of the guys in the barbershop think it's a pretty boring commercial. Would you almost say it's postmodern? This is a Nike commercial where a bunch of guys are watching a Nike commercial and talk about how boring the commercial is.
Jackson on the run, and he'll make the catch to end the inning.
This Nike commercial is boring.
It's just Bo in a gym.
I can do that.
Where are the dancing girls?
Where's the singer?
Who's it?
What's his name?
Well, you know who.
That Timothy Leary.
Leary guy.
I miss the montage style of editing.
It's just Bo in a gym.
Only a Nike commercial in a barbershop would be more boring.
Even Nike's not that dumb.
I believe that.
Now what'd they go and change the logo for? That's better.
They show the Nike logo red, white on red on black, and then when they say what they change the logo for, they switch it back to just white on black.
I will say I do agree that that is very postmodern because
it's completely
self-referential.
Postmodern. Yeah.
But I was picturing a different kind of barbershop. I don't know if I just misheard you, but it's not really like a traditional black barbershop.
No.
There's one
mostly
black.
Mostly white guys in
one
there.
One of the actors is black, but the rest of them are kind of like white country.
Yeah. And one of them looks like really old, like he would be on a porch
like
in one
small
of those.
Town.
Yeah, exactly. And the old guy with like the 1950s era glasses and the straw cap looks like he would be in a, what were those wine cooler commercials with the two guys?
Bartles and
he
James.
Looks like a Bartles or a James. These commercials, I guess their campaign is about being boring. They go by very quickly. I thought they were sort of interesting. They're for a flooring company called LL Flooring. Ladies love flooring.
Ladies love flooring.
I assume that stands for. And this first one, they both go by very quickly. This first one, We just see a woman, and she is laying on the floor, and her face is pressed into the floor. And she sort of mentioned something about how good the floor feels on her face. And then we see that there's another woman in the room with her, presumably the homeowner. She's also laying on the floor, but she's laying on her back. And she's like, yeah, it's good flooring, and tells her how to get it.
Feels so good on my face.
Wheatfield oak. Found it on L.L. Florin's picture it tool. See any floor in your house, and then... voila.
Stop boring flooring and get our latest styles at our best price guaranteed. Now through May 3rd.
So I guess the whole point is you can use this app to use some sort of augmented reality, take a picture or just open the app on your phone, look at your flooring currently, but say, I want to see what that looks like with this particular flooring on it.
That actually is very tempting.
It is very tempting. And so that's cool.
That's how I pick out glasses.
Yep, exactly. There's a function on Amazon that lets you do that too. I didn't realize, but a while back, we were going to buy a new coffee grinder, and I think the other one was breaking or just broken or something, and I had been disappointed in the size of the previous one, and so this time I really wanted to dial it in or something. I wanted to make sure I wasn't getting some humunculus, is that the right word?
Nope.
Some huge thing that wouldn't fit in our kitchen. So I was looking at the measurements of it, and then Amazon was like, well, do you want to use augmented reality? Just like open up your phone and we'll show you what this thing looks like
in your
space.
Oh, I didn't know you did that. That's
pretty
cool.
I remember being very excited about it at the time. So anyway, that commercial does a good job of, you know, informing us of that immediately. You and I both picked up on that immediately. But there is something I love about a flooring company showing people press their face on the floor and just being like, I love it. There's something about, I think, being a kid, we spend so much time on the floor as kids, right? And sometimes I see kids in like an airport or something. I'm like, oh, man, that's kind of gross that you're just playing on the floor like that. But on the other hand, it's like, that's what we did at home. That's what you do at home. You're just always laying on the floor and rubbing your face on the floor.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and there's something about this to see adults do it. It implies cleanliness,
true,
you know, because it means that you're comfortable doing that. And this woman just loving the feel of her friend's floor on her face and being unabashed about it, I actually really like. This next one, in the same campaign, this woman seems to be, I believe, in her own kitchen. She's alone, and she's like sort of, at first she's laying face down, but sort of like tracing her finger along the grooves of the floor. And I think, and maybe I'm just a horn dog, but I feel like this is a little sexualized. I notice her face is a little flushed at the end as she's sort of rolling on this floor talking about how much she loves it.
L.L. Flooring had all the answers. They're experts. Bellawood Artisans Manhattan Chevron.
Oh, this? It's a Bellawood Artisan.
Stop boring flooring and get our latest styles at our best price guaranteed. Now through May.
What do you think? Am I putting too much stank on the sexualization?
It's not reading as sexualized to me. It's reading as just like she's just kind of euphoric about
it. Yeah, maybe more euphoric. There's something about her face being so flushed at the end that I was...
I would never have used that word to describe her looks.
Flushed?
No. Yeah.
At the very end? Here, right. Let me show you her, like, because you don't, you know what it might be? It might be because she's turned over and it's the cheek that has been on the ground. Because I feel like it's quite noticeable here at the end.
Experts. Bellawood Artisans Manhattan Chevron.
Oh, this? It's a Bellawood Artisan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's, now I realize what it is.
She does have, like, a little rug burn, not rug, but, like, floor burn.
Yes, you know, you are looking at this on a much smaller screen than I am, and then I just made this bigger, and I realized, oh, that's the whole joke of it, is her. We now see the side of the face that had been on the ground, and it's red from being there for so long. So
she's not horny for flooring?
She's not horny for flooring.
That would be an interesting new campaign they could do. Instead of, like, get rid of boring flooring, get horny for flooring.
Get horny for Flory, though.
Get horny for Flory. Horny for Florny. We'll workshop it.
We're working on it. I'm going to skip and delete this Etsy commercial. Basically, Etsy is saying, don't buy stuff from chain stores or whatever.
Yeah.
You're not boring, so don't buy boring stuff. Use Etsy. It's fine. It's very visual. This one I want your reaction to, because I think it might get a reaction out of you. This is a weird one. This is for Allstate, okay? And we see we see a shot from the perspective as if we are on a motorcycle. So the whole commercial is this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, imagine you're almost wearing VR glasses and you're playing a motorcycle game. What you see in front of you are two hands holding the handlebars of a motorcycle. You see a little bit of the gas tank and you see like the speedometer. The only thing is this motorcycle is not racing through the streets or the Hollywood Hills or whatever. It's racing through very banal settings. We see it rolling through a grocery store at first, then I think like kind of a cubicle farm office place. You'll mm-hmm. hear like phones ringing, I think. You see it running through like a factory. I don't know if that's supposed to be like Home Depot or maybe if you work in a factory or something like that. We see it just kind of driving through a montage of very boring places that are kind of on a loop here.
Complacency is a dirty word. When you were little, did you want to grow up to be just like everybody else? Boxed in, checked out, baking day after day under flickering fluorescence. People say riding a motorcycle is dangerous. Not riding a motorcycle. That's what's dangerous.
That it says Allstate Motorcycle. So,
medically speaking, he's incorrect.
So, at the very end, when you start to hear the motorcycle, we get out of the montage of it driving through these very boring spaces
that remind you of
the confines of your life. And we see the open road. That's the promise of motorcycles, always, right?
And
I actually like motorcycles.
The mundanity of life will kill you. Like, get out there, live your life.
Yeah, the thing that is
spread
more.
Spread your brains across the highway.
What's more dangerous than motorcycles is not riding motorcycles, is their pitch there, but also you want insurance. I thought that might make you angry because you're not a big fan of motorcycles, generally speaking. I wanted one for a while. You were very against it because...
It's probably the one time that I've basically sort of exercised my partner privilege and said, if anything I can do to forbid this from happening, I do it. Like, any doctor, any ER doctor will tell you they're called donor cycles for a reason. Like... They are so, I mean, look, I'm sure we have some motorcycle riders in our audience. It's not that I don't get the coolness of it or the appeal of it. And if that's, you know, your chosen vice or pleasure in life, like, I'm not the one to stop you, but I am the one to stop Andrew.
And also, it's out of love, so I appreciate that.
They're just so dangerous.
But it is funny how motorcycle. And again, I like motorcycles. I grew up in kind of quasi dirt bike culture out in the country. My dad liked dirt bikes, and I had a little dirt bike, and I liked that kind of stuff. And as I got older, I'm like, I could see myself with a road bike, but I understand, and it's not as important to me as, well, you, and, you know, whatever. Trying to think, is this okay to say? I think so. We can't give any details here at all, but I think you probably know who I'm talking about if you'll remember this, but we knew a couple who had been married for a while, but you could just sort of tell was somewhat, the relationship was somewhat stagnant, and one of them wanted kids really, really badly, and one of them, I think, avoided that question, and then, like, I think, like, within a very short order, like, I feel like within a week, but maybe within a couple of weeks, the one who wanted babies got a dog and the other one got a motorcycle.
That's correct.
Seems symbolic. It's just like, and this commercial really, like, I mean, again, I don't want to say that everybody who wants a motorcycle is falling for some sort of propaganda, but when you see motorcycles on television, it represents freedom.
Yeah.
Often male freedom. But
often
not
male
always.
Freedom. And it's not like it's hard to understand why riding a motorcycle would make you feel unencumbered and free. I mean, it absolutely feels like that, I'm sure. It's not that I don't get the appeal. It's just that I just am too aware of the possibilities, you know.
This last thing I want to play for you is our main feature. It's actually 3 minutes long. So I'm guessing it never aired on television. I'm guessing it's even too long for most pre-rolls. So I'm going to guess that this just was maybe a marketing video that this company made, you know, hoping to go viral or just call attention. I literally redacted on our show sheet. I did that thing where you can sort of highlight in black. So I have like all this redacted text so that you don't see what this is a commercial for. or an ad for, because I watched the whole thing and it was not until like the last 15 okay. seconds that I could figure it out. And there's a town in Oregon called Boring, Oregon. And we were talking before about the sort of Errol Morris style documentary. This is not Errol Morris style, but this is like a 2.5 minute documentary style that you will immediately recognize. It's like quick cuts of a bunch of interviews of mostly older, but definitely like small town folks talking about what it's like to live in Boring, Oregon. And, you know, a lot of interviews of couples sitting on their country kitsch couch in a home that they've owned outright for 20 years, and old firefighters sitting in the firehouse talking about Boring, Oregon. And there's even a shot of a couple of teens on like swings on an abandoned looking like schoolyard or something, like talking about how boring it is. They're both boys and they're kind of like, yeah, no, we don't have girls here, we're gonna import those from the outside or something like that. And it's just like a whole documentary about Boring, Oregon.
People would say, Boring, Oregon. Is it really boring there?
Boring is a kind of a laid-back little town, you know?
It's a fun town. Yeah, it is. It's just fun.
I mean, it's great, right? It says, yeah, a postcard from Boring, Oregon.
As a guy on the world's slowest lawnmower, riding mower, like putts across a lawn.
Yeah, and it's got this very like symmetrical style, like camera work, where it's like you see all the outsides of these buildings, but they're like perfectly like centered and everything. And so then this lawnmower is just slowly putting through our field of vision. And so this is a postcard from Boring, Oregon.
Some people would say you have to be boring to live here, but you don't.
I love that. That is like, that's almost Christopher. Boring got that's it. Almost Christopher Guest.
Yes, this has a very Waiting for Guffman feel to it.
Some people say you have to be boring to live here, but you don't.
Boring got its name basically because a Mr. Boring moved here.
I'm Bob Boring. I'm the fourth generation Boring. My great-grandfather came here in 1874.
Nobody leaves. Yeah. They don't go. They think they're going to go, and then they decide to come back.
Most people's hairstyles in Boring are more conservative.
Yeah, the weather in Boring, I guess you would call middle of the road comfortable. We had a week.
Yeah, a week of
snow that was about 18 inches deep, and that was in 73, I believe.
Is Boring boring? No.
There's two taverns.
The not-so-boring bar and grill.
A general store.
There's also a deli.
Actually, another store.
There's the market.
A restaurant.
Yeah, it's a really nice place.
What else do we have?
Guide dogs for the blind.
Here's something pretty interesting. Boring is actually paired with a little town in Scotland called Dole.
I mean, maybe we don't have gangs. Do you know of any gangs?
No,
I don't know of any gangs.
Do you know of any gangs?
I mean, you kind of got to make your own fun, really. I mean, send out girls in town. We'd have to outsource for those.
You know, you can sit in the backyard and watch the grass grow sometimes.
Now, you're going to have to explain what you're starting to see happen here, Viv.
So we're seeing what looks like, I guess, bubbles, or they're like little blue and pink bubbles blowing in from somewhere.
Yep, they're all blue and pink, perfectly round bubbles, but they don't look like soap bubbles as they land, or as people start poking at them. And we see like the firemen who are being interviewed, all of a sudden a few of them float into their firehouse and they pop one. And when these bubbles pop, they pop into almost like a powdery,
right,
a smoky powder that's either
It's giving me gender reveal vibes.
Yes, and this doesn't have anything to do with gender, I'll tell you that right now, but it definitely does seem like, if you were having a boy, you know, all of these would come out as blue. Oh God, I can't even tell you how much to my core the whole idea of boys being blue and girls being pink are. But anyway, yeah, those are the exact colors here. Now we see people kind of coming out of their homes, more and more bubbles taking over the town.
people are out popping the bubbles and this little pink and blue kind of powder or smoke
is
wafting
amazing.
Everywhere.
This is probably the biggest thing that's happened to Boring.
It says, anything boring can be made exciting. Fragrance burst bubbles, a new laundry experience.
Interesting.
It's for comfort fragrance burst.
Okay.
Isn't that...
I mean, that's a long way to go for laundry beads.
It's an enjoyable way to go. I enjoy the whole thing. It's not just the payoff, but then they don't tell you anything else about the product. You have to look it up online. And I think it's something that you put in your laundry to make it smell even better. I mean, I guess comfort fragrance bursts.
Yeah, that's a big product category right now. Like laundry's a lot of like detergent, you know, laundry detergent makers are doing this like gain scent. Flings and beads and whatnot. Like there's a lot of like, I think they're getting their lunch eaten by like alternative laundry detergent products like the one we use.
So at first, when I was first watching this and I didn't know what the reveal was going to be, I just saw that it was posted by somebody called Sam Bubble Man. And I thought this was going to be a commercial for some sort of bubble gum or I'm sorry, even bubble gun, maybe like a toy or something. And it turns out that no, this we now know it is a commercial for. It's these you know, fragrance balls you can put in your laundry. But the reason Sam Bubbleman posted this on his YouTube page is because he is the brains behind the bubbles. Listen to his biography as he posted it to YouTube. World leading expert in soap bubbles with 12-time Guinness World Records and 30 plus years of experience. My shows have traveled around the globe with performances in over 30 countries and a client list that includes Lady Gaga, Prince Charles, the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony, and I created the bubble sequence in Tim Burton's Dumbo by Disney in 2019. So that's who Sam Bubbleman is.
He's really found his passion.
I mean, you're born with the name Bubbleman. You're probably going to end up being in the bubble industry. It's weird how things sort of work out that way.
A real self-fulfilling prophecy that way.
I now run a company specializing in bubbles called Bubble Inc. We have the world's biggest and most unique toy company, as well as a team of performers that attend kids' parties, weddings, etc. So anyway, I was watching that whole thing the first time.
So he's the artist who made this, like, this real experience possible in Boring.
I think that, you know, somebody had
the idea of doing this.
I don't know. He's the bubbleman. Anyway, so that's how we will end that. I will unredact the show sheet for you now, Viv, so you can see all those notes. But I was pretty taken away because I was dying to find out what are you selling. I could tell that they were selling me something, but I couldn't tell what. And then I learned about Sam Bubbleman.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words saying, only the echoes of my mind.
Before we get into our new segment, You Got Me, let's just do a traditional ad council submission here. This was submitted by longtime listener Mason without really much comment, just sent us a link to this commercial. Actually, I think the subject line might have been John Goodman Hits You Just Right, which kind of worried me at first. But... you know, we played, I don't know if we commented on it or not, but a couple of weeks ago when we had our friend Nick Jarn on the show to talk about basketball-related commercials, I played a little drop of a John Goodman commercial from like before he was a known commodity from, I want to say...
For Foot Locker.
Foot Locker, exactly. And I think that he got a lot of commercial work back in the day. And this one is from 1979.
Wow.
It's for Menin Aftershave. And we just see him like kind of POV of his bathroom mirror after he's gotten done shaving, and he keeps on trying different aftershaves. He's like, but sometimes he'll try an aftershave and he puts it on his hand, but then he totally misses his face with it. Sometimes I think he flinches, he hits himself too hard.
One's too strong, one's too light, one's just wrong, one's not quite. It's no fun until you find the one that hits you just right.
Menin Skin Bracers got the nice, clean smell you're looking for in an aftershave. Skin Bracers got those skin tighteners and chin chillers that really wake you up. And there's nothing heavy-handed about it.
Thanks. I needed that. Skin bracer hit
you just right. It's so eerie to see young John Goodman as just like random generic handsome guy.
Yeah.
You know, not really that he isn't a handsome guy. He is and was all his career, but he's so generic here.
Yeah.
You know?
And then when you hear his voice, though, there's no mistaking his face either, but there's definitely no mistaking that. And like just so much charisma right out of the box. You know, he's like doing this like little
he has to do a lot.
Charade.
Yeah, with these charades.
Of like his hand like hitting his face too hard or too daintily or totally missing his face. I do not use
aftershave. At one point, he has to like fight off his own hand.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to touch it. It's like the aftershave is so terrible. He doesn't want it to touch him.
There was something, I mean, I remember being a kid and being like, oh, yeah, that, because my dad would always put on old, he would shave and then put on.
Now, you are currently clean shaven.
Yeah, I don't use aftershave though. Because of that whole sensation of just like, it was painful. You would put it on and it would hurt. I'm like, why make it hurty?
I mean, they're like the ultimate text on that, of course, is Home Alone.
Right, exactly. I forgot about that. You got me. Now you got me, you want me.
You got me. Really sticking with the theme today.
That's right. We have more shaving here from another ad counselor, Mike, who is our first, who has offered our first submission to the You Got Me segment. This is, and we'd love to hear from you guys about this too, email or call in, when you remember an actual commercial, or maybe it's even recently, a commercial has literally gotten you to try a product or a service. Not because your friends told you about it, but because
what am I drinking right this second?
You're literally drinking, what are they called?
Poppy.
Poppy. And I talked about, I don't know, I think an Instagram ad that got me into a TV show last week. And I know, like, it was a show that people had sort of talked about, people being you, and I didn't pay enough attention. And then I saw a commercial for it, and I was like, I got to watch this. And I was watching it that night. Like, it got me,
it
right?
It gotcha.
Well, Mike says, so this going back a ways, but the first thing I thought of after hearing You Got Me segment was this ad for Dollar Shave Club. I'm pretty sure I saw it as a pre-roll on YouTube. I remember it going sort of viral at the time, but it probably never aired on TV. I had forgotten about this, but once Mike pointed it out and I watched it, I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember this. This is about 90 seconds long.
This got a lot of play in various platforms.
It probably about 15 years ago. I see this was, well, it was actually posted by Dollar Shave Club 12 years ago, so maybe just that. It seems a little bit older to me. It really appeals to that sort of like that. It's very bro culture, but it's very hipster bro culture, sort of. It's not like bro culture of just like wearing jerseys and going to your man cave to watch the Bears. You know, this is like white guy in a tie and a collared shirt, but he's a little disheveled, and he's in the back room of like a, you can tell he's like in a workshop, and you learn that it's kind of the workshop, the back room of sort of a factory, as he explains Dollar Shave Club. And he's like, again,
and his vibe is very no bullshit, which was a real hallmark of this kind of like we're telling it like it is. You don't, you know, these legacy products have been like, you know, just absolutely bullshitting you for years and years,
but with a little bit of that like hipster sarcasm and snark, I think. And then and it's almost like it's not quite one shot, but it's kind of like a tracking shot. You learn more and more as he comes out of his back room off, as you see he's in a factory for Dollar Shave Club, and then we meet some of the people in the factory.
Hi, I'm Mike, founder of dollarshaveclub.com. What is dollarshaveclub.com? Well, for $1 a month we send high quality razors right to your door. Yeah, $1. Are the blades any good? No. Our blades are f***ing great.
He points to a sign that he's put on the wall of the office that says, our blades are effing great.
F***ing great. Each razor has stainless steel blades, an aloe vera lubricating strip, and a pivot head. It's so gentle a toddler could use it. And do you-
now we're seeing like some kind of surreal, goofy things. Like we see a toddler, like in this shipping room on all these crates and boxes, there's a toddler shaving a man's head. And it's just sort of like in the background.
Strip and a pivot head. It's so gentle a toddler could use it. And do you like spending $20 a month on brand name razors? 19 go to Roger Federer.
I'm good at tennis.
Somebody throws a tennis racket off screen. He catches it, but then misses a ball that comes afterwards because I guess Federer was advertising for like the competition at the time, probably one of the mainstream razor companies.
And do you like spending $20 a month on brand name razors? 19 go to Roger Federer. I'm good at tennis.
And do you think your razor needs a vibrating handle, a flashlight, a back scratcher, and 10 blades? Your handsome-ass grandfather had one blade and polio.
Looking good, pop-up!
Stop paying for shave tech you don't need. And stop forgetting to buy your blades every month. Alejandra and I are going to ship them right to you.
Alejandra is a woman, a Latin American woman, who is working like the shipping table and extending too much tape before he cuts the tape with a machete for some reason. And the, also then he throws a box of blades to a bear, somebody in a bear suit, a really yes. janky bear suit who misses it.
We're not just selling razors, we're also making new jobs.
Now we have our spokesperson here, and he's like in a wagon of some sort. And his employee, Alejandra, is that what her name is sort of like sitting between his legs as I assume somebody off camera is pulling this wagon through stacks of boxes.
Yeah, they've made some odd choices here.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously trying to make odd choices yeah. to get attention. I feel like this is a little bit on the edge, though.
Not just selling razors, we're also making new jobs. Alejandra, what were you doing last month?
Not working.
What are you doing now?
Working.
I'm no Vanderbilt, but this train makes hay.
That definitely feels exploitative to me.
God, yes.
Like, majorly
yeah,
problematic.
Yeah, I've seen this. I was going to say, I've seen this ad before, but I have not seen this extended cut.
So
I've seen
forgetting to buy
just the part, the basically where it gets as far as the grandfather.
All those dollar bills I'm saving you. We are DollarShaveClub.com, and the party is on.
Now at the end, he and the bear and the employee are all dancing around while money falls from the ceiling, and he's, I don't know, blowing it around with a leaf blower for some reason, you know, so.
Yeah, that came to a rough landing.
Yeah, so anyway, Mike says, I think of this as the We Bought a Factory commercial. I watched it again today, and a few bits still got me, especially the Roger Federer part. I thought this ad was perfect back then, but watching it today, I don't feel great about the bit with Alejandra. It just feels a little demeaning towards her. Yeah, I'd definitely say so. Do you want to talk about a white savior
and
bullshit?
Like making a Latina woman
sit between your legs
and thank you for the job that you gave
oh
her
my God,
is
yeah.
Has not aged well.
Yeah. To say the blades are fucking great is a bit of a stretch, but I'd say that they were fucking just fine.
That would have been, I would have had a lot of respect for a company that was like, because they almost get there. They're like, you don't need 10 blades. Like, your handsome ass.
Yeah.
I love the handsome ass grandfather
Me too.
Bit.
Andy had polo.
Andy had polio.
Or polio, sorry. Yes.
I don't know if he had polo.
He had polo shirts. You didn't let me finish. Anyway, Mike says, I signed up right after I saw the ad for the first time, and I remained a customer for several years. I actually ended up canceling because I was so put off
wow.
by this later ad, which is this spinoff segment that I teased earlier. You lost me. If this starts off as you got me, we now have a segment called You Lost Me. Here we see, again, this is
I've
for
never,
Dollar
I'm trying
Shave.
To think if I've ever quit using a product purely because of a piece of marketing that they did.
Well, like that commercial that we just heard definitely had that, again, kind of smarmy male-centricness to it. I mean, it is razor blades being marketed towards men, but there is something about it that, like you said, like it definitely turns. The Alejandra
yeah.
stuff is obvious, but then you're just kind of like, yeah, well, what is the sort of natural progression of
yeah.
this kind of sort of like man marketing,
mm-hmm.
Which I just really hate that kind of shit. I just hate any kind of bro-y kind of stuff. And we see, this is a weird setup anyway. We see some young, not super good looking guy, and he's clearly in a airplane bathroom, not an airport, but an airplane bathroom, but he's shaving there, which by the way, if you're shaving in the airplane bathroom, unless you're like quickly with a little electric razor that takes you 30 seconds like in the 80s movies. Remember in the 80s movies, there's always guys using an electric razor while they drove in their convertibles?
Yes.
Like, they're just always doing that. They're making deals shaving in their convertibles, right?
Yes, absolutely. I don't know why there was so much of that in 80s movies, but there was a lot.
I feel like there must be that in Defending Your Life. I feel like there must...
Is he shaving?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he doesn't
do that
in
Defending...
He's
trying to grab his
CDs. Okay, maybe he doesn't do that in Defending Your Life. I feel like there might be some of that in The Player, possibly.
Somebody find us a real example of it, because I feel like I saw it a million times, but I don't think it's in the player.
You don't think it's in the player?
And I definitely know it's not in Defending Your Life.
What about, I had an L.A. Story maybe with Steve Martin? That's probably less likely because I don't see his character doing that.
It's been a while since I've seen that.
Anyway, I feel like it's a trope. In this one, though, he's not using, this is like a young guy, and I think he's specifically a little bit nerdy looking or a little bit like, I don't know, diminutive or something.
Kind of a Noah Wiley vibe.
And he is, Varsity Blues.
Nope. ER.
Sure. Anyway, he's actually shaving his face with one of these razors. And then a super sexy flight attendant knocks on the door and comes in. And then we don't see the sexual act, but most of the commercial is her kind of getting redressed after apparently humping this guy because he was using these razors in the bathroom in the airplane.
Knock, knock.
She's buttoning up her clothes and pulling up her
Dollar Shave Club.
Stockings.
Best club I've ever joined. Quality product.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Also, on what planet? That is a bathroom, like, that bathroom is like
huge.
3 times the size of a real airplane bathroom.
Yeah. And then there's a sort of a secondary joke here, too, where they say at one point on the screen with text, a real Dollar Shave Club review said by an actor. And then you get to the very end and you see that somebody, Michael T, just tweeted out, best club that I've ever joined. Quality products. And so that's what this actor says. There's no reason to believe the person who tweeted this had any kind of mile high experience,
right,
as they're called, but they're taking these mundane quotes and then creating,
like, what would be the best club that some, you know, generic like cardboard cutout of a man would like to join? Well, the Mile High Club,
obviously,
right?
Yeah.
So like if he's saying this is the best club he's ever joined, like what is the kind of like, what is the allegorical equivalent of that?
Right.
But I'm with you.
Or what does it even beat out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm with you, Mike. This is despicable.
They got him. And they lost him.
You can sell anything. You can sell anything.
You know what, Genevieve?
You know what?
We did all right.
Yeah, I think so.
I came into today's show less swaggery than usual.
Yeah, which is saying quite a lot, because even your normal swagger is like on the low side.
I have low swag.
You have low swag.
I've seen some doctors about it. I mean, you reach a certain age, you're going to have low swag. But
yeah, but there are, you know, there are solutions for that.
I didn't know if any of this content would kind of hang together in a way that I would want it to.
These
because
are all
it was
really
a very
fun.
Loose idea, but it was really good. And I give you credit for that. So thank you, Genevieve. The voicemail number. Ooh, now I'm ruining it. Patting myself on the back. Now I can't say voicemail. The voicemail number, which we'd really encourage you to call, is 607-444-5597. That's 607-444-5597. We really love hearing your voice.
Yeah, did somebody get you? Call it in.
Yeah, definitely. Let us know. Also, you can email us or record your voice memo and email it to us. afterthesemessagesshow@gmail.com. That's afterthesemessagesshow@gmail.com. And you can join the fun in the Facebook group where people react to and talk about the commercials we've talked about here or other commercials that they see in the wild.
By the way, I'm really into the spinoff segment of You Lost Me.
You Lost Me, yeah.
So if you were
Amen.
Using a product for any reason and then some piece of marketing made you quit using it, that is fascinating to me because I really can't even think of an example of that for myself.
I feel like
there are products I boycott because of things they've done politically, but nothing I can
not
think of.
Not just a commercial,
not just
or
an
a
ad,
billboard,
yeah.
Or I need to think about that. I feel like I do have one.
You
I feel
think
like
about
there
it.
Was some, but you know me, I'm also like, I think more and more the older I get, I'm like, I'm voting with my pocketbook on this one. Yeah,
yeah, and then you got, and then you go out, you get a pocketbook.
I get a pocketbook.
Put it on your shoulder,
and then I'm like,
and you
oh,
go
shoot.
To the mall.
Oh, shoot. My whole thing was I didn't want to buy pocketbooks because I didn't like that pocketbook company. They got me! All right, everybody. I don't know what I'm talking about. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
I celebrate the fact I moved into my mama's basement. I don't pay rent. I sell old books for new ones.